sun forward to when it snows so the wildfires go away. 5 years old.
Awful.
Mm-hmm. He also wants to see, but.
You might use it in a public service announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not a bad idea. All right. Let's call this meeting to order. See that Kevin has joined us. But let's start off with the council.
Good morning, commissioners. I have both payroll and accounts payable for September 7th, 2021. And under accounts payable, we have a large number of commissioners. So I'll give you a heads up on that. Accounts payable for September 7th, 2021 is $3,248,093.65. Payroll is $787,366.14 for a grand total, commissioners, of $4,035,459.79.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the accounts payable as presented.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. Mark, I'm sure you do have some items of note with what this sounds like one of the largest accounts payable I can recall.
Indeed, I do. It is the item, the largest item of note, and the one that I'll highlight for the commissioners this morning is a payment to Old Castle Southwest Group, that's United Paving, and that's for a total of $2,164,430.35. And of course, we are right in the height of our construction building season, especially for the road bridge department. So you'll see that that's a very big number and includes a lot of the paving that we've had ongoing for the last couple of months. Other items of note, commissioners, we have two payments to Transwest Trucks Incorporated. The first payment is for $224,919 even. The second payment is $259,194, and those are for equipment that will be devoted to the road and bridge department. We also have a payment to Master Petroleum for $21,979.78. And finally, we have a payment, commissioners, to FCI Contractors Incorporated for $50,001, and that would be part of the retainage that was part of our associated project for the Southwest Terminal expansion at YVRA. And commissioners, those are the items of note for you this morning.
Are there any questions, comments?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Got some consent agenda items?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to approve the consent items A, B, C, and D.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. This, we've got 7 minutes or so to kill here. Maybe I could give you guys a quick update on the Health and Human Services building. We met Wednesday? And discussed the value engineering items that had been presented in the meeting before. And then it was very helpful. Chancey was able to bring up their 3D modeling of the outside of the building, which is where all of the value engineering items occurred, and showed the consequences of accepting those items. There was the Old Town Pub side of the building, there was a stairwell and a deck area, and that has been removed. There was a...
Doug's deck, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, that was still okay. We removed the skylight that was over the main entry of the building, and then a couple of other more or less cosmetic overhang metal decorative items. So the direction that was given after seeing that was to proceed with those VE items, which is what brought us to the budget that we are currently at. Still under consideration, there's at least one other VE item, which was the travertine stone, potentially changing that to brick. We're not quite, I don't recall a dollar number associated with that.
I don't either.
It wasn't an exact dollar number, but there was general consensus that it would save a fair amount of money. So I think we've asked to see what that savings would be and what it would do to the appearance of the building. It's kind of the...
Yeah, and then a good, Commissioner, the instructions to the group to say, we're not done. If you still recognize any DEI items going forward, we want to have you examine those and bring those forward, especially if you feel like they wouldn't be mission critical in terms of what we've got in mind.
We did take the one VE item on the inside of the building, which was the a very expensive suspended wood ceiling. It was about $45,000 ceiling in the main entry.
The main entry, right.
That stuff's just super expensive. It's a nice look that I really don't think as important as what's going on the outside of the building. And there's still, I think there's still some opportunities as they develop the finish schedule on the inside of the building. There may be some places to save some money. And we're asking them to continue to work really hard. And they do understand the kind of the line of sand that's been drawn with the budget at this point.
I just have one question about the skylight. Does that sort of impact the natural light, and would it create an increased need for
artificial light?
Yeah.
No, it was funny because, you know, Chancey, like any good architect, has been pretty stubborn. Well, not stubborn is the wrong word. Resistant to changes to the building that would really negatively impact. And I think she came right out and said, with all the big glass in that area, it's really not going to make that much difference. And the good news is it does free up quite a bit of roof space for future solar panel application. Of all the things, that was one that she was just kind of happy to make go away.
Okay. So,
you know, it's always that interesting tension, you know, the architect has their vision of what they want the building to look like, and they're always going to get a little defensive when you start chopping into that. Mm-hmm. But I think with all the items that we took, she agreed, did not really in any major way impact the appearance of the building. Mm-hmm. I think the one where she became pretty resistant, and it was never included in the original VE, was the appearance of the building along Oak Street with the peaked roofs, which we could have made go away. And in particular, there's a covered deck on that side of the conference room. And it was true, it was really handy with the modeling. She was able to just like select that and make it go away. And then the appearance of the building did really change dramatically. And I think some of the functionality for the conference room area. Mm-hmm. You know, all along, I will tell you that I was never 100% sold on the conference room, and especially the kitchen that went with it. But I'm becoming increasingly persuaded that functionality is something that's really going to get used in a way that's going to be really important, not just, you know, I mean, it's nice to have that available to the community to use, but I think for our own programming over time, we're going to be glad that we did it.
Commissioner, I couldn't agree more. I think you're going to be astounded to see the utilization of that space. I think it's going to be in high demand, and I think it's going to be really appreciated by community groups and people that look for a space of that size at that price point as well, because sometimes it gets expensive. I think you're going to just be really pleased to see the utilization. Commissioner, the other thing, of course, that was part of our discussion that day was the demolition permit.
Oh.
And you might want to bring the commissioners to the speed on.
Well, I saw the email.
Yeah, actually, I meant to do a response email to all of you. You know, Eric really helped make that happen.
Right.
He really has keen insight into the way to approach the city to help them understand why they needed to let it go. And really what he ended up focusing on was not just the part where they screwed up and provided the demolition permit for the Selby house, but it was like, look at it. You've got a dangerous situation out there. We need to remediate this. We were even talking internally about the potential for Todd to declare it a dangerous structure and enforce the demolition of it. And I would say that from all reports, everybody over there at the city actually wanted to find a way to help make this work without it being in some clear violation of their own policies. And I think they found, not a loophole, they found good, sound reasoning why they should allow the demolition to go forward. But again, I thought, and Mark did a great job of like just kind of getting the ball rolling with Gary over there. But then again, I think Eric did a great job of kind of closing the deal and, yeah, and helping everybody get to a point of understanding this is why this needs to happen.
I think the real tipping point and something that Eric identified, and I think that was a real key point, was we had allowed the Steamboat Fire Department to come in and do exercises in the building, and they punched a number of holes in the roof. I think they were there at least two, if not three times. And then suddenly, and that was something that was not known by some of the officials at the city. So once they found out that, there's a horse of a different color, then I think that made a difference in that. It was part of the tipping point. So the good news is the demo contractor should be here this week. Yep, today. It should be mobilizing today.
Nice. All right. Let's go ahead and get started up again. Kevin, are you here for public comment?
He's not here.
Apparently not. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment at this time. And
sorry, I just got promoted. But to answer your question, no, I'm here for two purchasing items, the radio, Carrie Littman, and then the bag belt that Julie's presenting after that.
Do we have anybody coming up from clerk's office?
I would think so, but I don't see them. I'll ask.
Yeah, let's
they usually do, don't they? Huh? They usually do come up.
Yeah. Are they mobilizing across the street this morning? They are.
Yes, they are.
Great. We just talked about the little hoops we had to jump through to get that all done.
That's an excellent job.
So, a great job of hoop jumping.
And the firemen had another nice day. Thursday, they were all bit going through the roof and, you know, doing some practical experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of nice.
But they didn't actually set fire to anything.
No.
Speaking of firemen, did you see yesterday at North Route short-term rental caught on fire and burned the whole thing down?
That was a short-term rental?
That's what the paper is reporting, is that
right.
It was hunters in a short-term rental, and they think that a baseboard next to a bed caught fire, the whole thing completely changed.
Huh.
At hunt speed.
No one got hurt.
Really?
No one got hurt.
No one got hurt.
Thank God.
Somebody got hurt. They were able to put it out. There was a couple, like, kind of sparks flying. They had aerial moment. They rolled those out. So as far as a firefighting mission, it was very successful. They did a really good job. But on the pilot's Facebook page, they said it was a short-term rental and it was hunters renting the cabin and they were gone. And a whole thing torched.
You know, that's a strong argument. If you were ever going to allow short-term rentals, they should be subjected to some kind of inspection, from safety inspection. But that's a moot point.
Because we don't allow them.
Because we don't allow them. We don't permit.
So, clerks are stuck on the phone. They're on their way.
Great. I hear Barb. There she is. Good morning, Barb.
Sorry,
that's fine.
Today, so.
Have a seat. We're good.
How are you?
How many places can you be at once, huh?
Find me out.
So, Barb, what have you got for us this morning?
So I have consideration for approval and authorization for the board to sign the special event liquor license for the Hayden Heritage Center, Inc. for an event to be held at the Hayden Granary at 198 East Lincoln Avenue in Hayden. It's split between the town and the county, and so they have to apply for two special event liquor licenses.
You mean physically the properties?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And a piece of railroad. And it backs up to the railroad.
So exactly. Really, and a piece of railroad. It is just a mess.
But I guess it's a pretty neat building. I don't know.
It's becoming a real neat building. If you get a chance, you should go out and take a tour through it. It's coming along nicely.
Yeah.
And you get the usual set of referrals.
Yep, we've sent out, looks like we haven't gotten fire, but you understand that fire usually can't go until the day of because everything's not set up. So yeah, looks like everything's in and the fees are paid and just need some signatures.
All right, I'm ready for a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve and authorize the board's signature on a special event liquor license for Hayden Heritage Center, Inc. for an event to be held at the Hayden Greenery at 198 East Lincoln Avenue, Hayden, Colorado, for an event to be held on September 18th from 10 to 3.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Did you say aye?
I did say
aye. You did? Okay. There you go, Barb. You can get back to your normal duties.
Awesome. Thank you.
Here.
Oh, thanks.
All right, Julie, you're up. You get a couple of items here. And we have our airport director here with us today.
Yes, we did. So we are here to request the Board of County Commissioners approve the award, the chair sign the notice of award, and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Five Star Airport Alliance Incorporated for the bag belt reconfiguration project in the amount not to exceed $406,492. So,
I think we are out of order. Yes.
Is the convention center might be your room mobile radio purchase?
That's not me.
That's not you.
That's Gary directly.
Okay. So she's just not here. So.
Well, I don't think there's any problem.
So let's skip her and go ahead and
do it. Yeah. I don't think there's any problem doing the bag belt.
Right? Okay. So this project is being funded by a CARES Act grant, and we will not need a supplemental budget. Kevin, you already asked to move those funds over for this project, correct?
Well, it's not coming directly from the CARES Act, so. It's coming from our reserves, so this is not an eligible project. It's a developmental project, but it's coming from our reserves. Now, ultimately, our reserves are being bolstered by CARES Act money that's coming in every month to pay us back for operations and maintenance. So, slight correction on that. So, indirectly, yes, it's coming from CARES Act, but it's actually coming out of our out of our reserves.
So it is fully funded project. We sent out the RFP to five vendors and advertised on our website in the paper as well. And we received two proposals. The Five Star did give us the best price. And both vendors had a lead time of 16 weeks for the project. which puts us right directly smack in the middle of our busy season there. So we had a conversation with Flagstar last week, and they're going to hold their pricing and go ahead and order the materials that take the 10 to 12 months to get in and start the manufacturing of it. And then we'll be storing it until the mountain closes, the first week of April. And then they will come and do the install of the project. But we thought it best to not take down a whole oversized bag belt during the busy season, since we have so many oversized bags at the airport. Correct?
Yeah, so I speak to that. And Julie's exactly right. We knew all along that we're going to have long lead times on the equipment. It took longer than we anticipated to get the RFP out through our engineering firm, which had to hire a sub that was a specialist on baggage belts. Anyway, long sad story was, by the time we got it out on the street and then confirmed the long lead times, I am in no way willing to have this construction going on during the flight season. So we're happy to hear that Flagstar, we have a lot of history with them. They've done most of the bag belt installation at the airport here. So we're confident that they gave us a good bid and that will give us a good product. And we will just use some of the manpower that we did last year when we didn't have these bag belts. We'll operate that scanner the same way we did last year. So we'll manually load and unload it on our busy Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday days. So was hoping we would get this done before the flight season, but it's not going to happen. So
this is just the outgoing baggage, right?
Yeah, so this is the new scanner for skis and boards, basically anything that's oversized that can't go through the normal scanners. And we had one. TSA added a second one last November at the 11th hour. We got that up and running, and it really helped us out with the number of bags that Southwest puts through. It really kind of saved us, and we can operate the same way we did last winter, this winter, and then do this work when we don't need that oversized baggage scanner as much as we need it in the wintertime. So I think it makes good sense. It would have been nice to have it done, but didn't happen.
So this is just the belt, not obviously not the scanner.
Is just a feed belt, in feed and out feed belt. And it basically is coming in behind the Southwest ticket counter. So it's really, while we won't say it's dedicated to Southwest, it's essentially dedicated to Southwest. So they can just take their bags, turn around, put it right on the belt, and then it's a straight shot back to this new scanner machine that we installed last year.
All right. Any questions for Kevin?
No.
And I'm ready for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Board of County Commissioners to approve the award, the chair to sign the notice of award, and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Five Star Airport Alliance Incorporated for the bag belt reconfiguration project in the amount not to exceed $406,492.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to try to get a hold of Carrie?
Carrie she is on. So we either go to Julie's next item with Doc, or we can jump back to Carrie.
I'm sorry?
She's ready.
Oh.
So do you want to do her item and then go back to Julie, or finish with Julie and then Carrie?
I don't think I have another item.
She doesn't have.
Oh.
I think the sheriff's office will have the next one yet. Yeah, let's go ahead and do Carrie. Good morning, Carrie. You're going to talk to us about a mobile radio purchase?
I just monitors.
Good morning, Carrie. So if you're talking, Carrie, we're not hearing you.
But I know we're good because we were Kevin. So.
Yeah, and I'm staying on for this item too, since it's for the airport. So at any point, if you want me to kind of explain what's going on, I can do that.
Sure, why not, Kevin? Well, we're okay. Waiting.
Carrie, are you calling also?
Hello, commissioners. Can you hear me now?
We can now, Carrie.
Okay.
Morning.
Very good. Yes, we would like permission to purchase a radio that's outside of our budget for the new airport's broom. This will allow them to communicate with their people in the tower, fire, and with dispatch. Kevin, would you like to explain about the broom and all?
Sure. So I think you guys are familiar with the broom that we've got ordered through MB. For whatever reason, the FAA doesn't authorize radios as eligible parts of our snow removal equipment. So this is typically the way we do this is we'll buy them working through our communications department, and then we'll ship the radio directly to the manufacturer so that they can install it in the broom, and it comes to us fully installed and tested and ready to go. So we put two radios in each piece of snow removal equipment, one to be able to hear the frequency that the aircraft are on when they come in, and then the more, frankly, the more important one is the one to communicate, this radio to communicate directly, as Carrie said, with our folks up in the op center and then dispatch everybody else. So this is that critical dual band radio from Motorola.
Great. Any questions? That's for Carrie or Mark or Kevin. Okay, I'm ready for a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the state bid purchase and authorize the county manager to electronically sign a purchase order to Motorola Solutions for one mobile radio for the Robb County Communications Department for the amount of $5,500.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Doug. Up. Moving fast today. What have you got for us?
So I am here again based on our meeting we had in June regarding the new contract with Taylor International. Commissioner Malton had a few questions and she wanted me to follow up. Just to make sure
that doesn't sound like me, Doug.
Just to make sure that we are complying with county policy regarding purchasing. And the answer to your question is yes, it does meet the waiver of formal purchasing process under county policy section 3.1 for sole source purchases. We currently have a contract that's Taser International. We're just renewing that contract and probably contract will purchase more tasers, more body cameras. As Tom and I explained earlier, it will be a renewal process. So every time taser body cams come up for renewal, it's not something they can purchase. It's probably a contract that replaces.
Thanks. I don't even remember any questions, but
your question just was, do we have to go out to RFP?
Yeah.
Does this fall under the sole source?
And I think I saw Eric, and I think he said we actually already have a contract. It's not a new, you're sort of just combining that into one. Is that
right? Well, it's a new contract. It'll be a new contract for the next 5 years, but it's rewritten to include the purchase of the 14 more body cams that need to be in compliance with new state law. And basically what it's doing is it's combining all the different, we have some tasers that are on one cycle. We have some jail tasers that are on a different cycle. We have like three or four different cycles for different equipment. This puts everything into one contract and all on the same 5 year cycle.
And then it's a multi-year commitment subject to annual appropriations, which is why it's been listed year by year for what the price is.
Yes.
This is probably more a question for Mark. I just noticed that we got an email this morning from TCI regarding the grant funding for the body cameras. And that obviously applies to this contract.
It can.
Okay.
Garrett's actually been talking to the new grants administrator. Okay. And we're still not sure if that is just for the purchase of additional body cams or if that could be used to fund some of the contract pricing.
Okay. Mostly I just wanted to make sure that Carolyn followed up on that.
So we're not sure if we'd be eligible for that.
Okay. Well, it looks like the intent to apply is due today, which doesn't really obligate you to anything. So as long as she is taking care of that, I'm sure she is. Probably can still figure it out. Very confusing. So the state tries to apply these
things. It is.
At least they're trying to give us some money.
Right.
It just seems like the whole world's just becoming grant funded. It's
an odd way to fund government.
It is.
I don't know why you can't just allocate funding, right?
Well, I think they're trying to stay away from the old earmark.
Yeah. It turns into an unfunded mandate at some point, right?
Yeah, amen.
All right. I don't know. I believe my question has been answered.
I'm right, yes.
Okay. I move the Board of County Commissioners to approve the sole source award. The chair signed the 5-year master services and purchase agreement and authorized the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order to Taser International Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $275,749.29.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for following up on that.
So do I need to have your signature on this, or does Kim Mark electronically sign your order?
This says, the motion says authorize the county manager to sign. So I think that's what you're doing.
And I think, Kimber, that you said is it actually goes in the queue under Venus, doesn't it? And that's the way the electronic signature will work?
I have no idea about that.
Maybe
is that
really typically that's where I do, Doug. But let me check with.
Well, we spent millions of dollars for the system. Maybe we ought to utilize its functions.
Just wanted to know. Okay, that sounds good.
Do you want to
remain
in session, or should I? Because that was our last thing.
Yeah, no, we're done.
Okay.
Thank you.